Tuesday morning to you. Thank you so much for listening to News Radio 92.3. I'm your host, Tammy Martin, here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. It's good to have you this morning listening. We have the pleasure of having Mr. Mike Wiggins with us this morning with the Garden Line. Yay!
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
Good.
Tammy, welcome. Welcome to the Garden Line.
Thank you. You're always a pleasure.
Oh, no. This will be fun. You know, one thing I'm sure you have learned in your time here on the Expert Panel is we have the greatest listeners ever.
Right.
And on the Garden Line, of course, we just totally encourage texts, phone calls, whatever, to talk about gardening and try to answer your questions. Most of the time we can answer them, sometimes we can't, but if not, we'll find the answer for you. But it really is a pleasure to be here with you and, of course, with all the folks that are listening today. And hopefully, here we are, just right in the beginning of spring. There should be a lot of questions out there and a lot of things we can talk about.
Absolutely, yes. And if you want to join in the conversation, the phone number is 437-1620. You can text or call in. I know I told Mike I have a black thumb, so he's working on me. He asked if I brought my gardening gloves this morning, so ready.
Oh, you ready to go? Okay,
ready.
Here we go. I do think we need to start off, and tell me what we always seem to talk about, and we don't really plan this, but the weather, of course, dictates sort of what we do insofar as gardening is concerned in Pensacola. And it looks like there's a little low pressure in the Gulf that's moving our ways. It's just going to bring us a lot of rain. It looks like maybe Wednesday night into Thursday. The reason I mention that is the temperatures and with the rain coming, if by chance you're sitting at home right now, you've got a bag of fertilizer in your garage, and you're ready to go out and fertilize the lawn sometime this week, well, do it today. You get it out today or even tomorrow and catch that rain that's coming. That is going to be perfect because once you get that fertilizer out, you really do need to water it in for it to get to work. Now, we've always said this, and Tammy, that just we never use weed and feed fertilizer. That's the Garden Line rule.
Okay.
We never do that.
I'm going to write that down right now.
Yeah, don't write that down. It's number one rule. So, and be careful. If you, by chance, have a bag of weed and feed that you want to put out, don't do it today because the wind is so strong.
Okay.
The last thing you want to do is to get those weed killers, those herbicides, into your flower bed, into your landscaping, which can do great damage. But hopefully you don't have that, but if you have your regular fertilizer. Now, what we recommend, of course, for whether you have St. Augustine grass, centipede grass, zoysia grass, Bermuda grass, Bahia grass, whatever you've got, makes no difference. I like to use a 1608. I did see on the market the other day with a good granular fertilizer with minor elements, an 18018. A great formula. The point is you want that first number of those three numbers to be nitrogen. That's the most important thing this time of year. The second number is not important at all because we have plenty of that in our soil. And the last number helps with the root growth. So 1800, a 1608, a 1648, a 15015. I've seen all of those on the market. Those are great fertilizers to use right now. Right now.
Okay.
It's time to do it. We kind of held off. A lot of people like to do it earlier, like in early March. But now that we're into April, most of the grass is out of dormancy, and it's time to go ahead and do that. So I certainly would recommend that we do that. Do it today. And if you've got to go to work, take the day off to fertilize your lawn.
I agree completely. Just say, I'm sorry, I cannot come in.
Can I come in? I'm fertilizing my lawn.
Mr. Mike Wiggins said I have to take off today.
Check with you tomorrow. Exactly.
That's all. That's a great reason not go to work.
Exactly. And just one other thing. We did this last year, I think, and it was kind of fun. I always like to watch the Masters golf tournament on television. Nobody likes to play golf better than me, and nobody is worse than me. I am the absolute worst.
Me?
Oh, are you bad? Are you a golfer?
No.
You're just not a good...
Just not good at swinging it and making it... No, I'm bad.
No. Exactly.
We could go play together.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be fun.
Exactly. That would be great. I really am bad. But anyway, I do love to watch the Masters, and every time I watch the Masters, I get so jealous of the absolute perfect turf that they've got.
It is beautiful.
It is green everywhere. I mean, the greens are perfect. The fairways are perfect. The rough is perfect. Where the spectators are sitting is perfect. And so you've got to ask yourself, why is that turf perfect and mine is not?
Right. Good
okay.
question.
Well, I always kind of thought and have talked to some folks. I said, well, it's a Bermuda fairways, for example, but it really is not. It's got some underlying Bermuda, but what it is, it's perennial ryegrass.
Okay.
Which they perennial overseed ryegrass. In Augusta every year, and when it comes up, they keep people off of it part time of the year, so that grass will come in thick for the Masters. And it's absolutely perfect. Now, can we do perennial ryegrass here? You bet we can. A lot of us use annual ryegrass because, and this is going to sound really crazy, Tammy, perennial ryegrass will, in our area, will really act like annual ryegrass. And it probably does in Augusta, too, in that when the hot weather comes, it goes away. It just, it's not here. You have to reseed it every year. But if you do it in Pensacola, you do it to keep a green lawn all winter long.
Okay.
But what's the disadvantage of that? Mm-hmm. You got to mow it.
Oh,
most of us want to put that lawnmower away and say, you know, to heck
that
with
is
it
true, that you do have a break from.
You have a break from mowing it. But anyway, that's perennial ryegrass is the reason that turf is so pretty. Now, the greens themselves are bent grass, which we don't really have a lot of bent grass here, if any. Bent grass does not take heavy heat, but in Augusta, the greens, of course, are perfect. And one other thing, and this is just a little bit of trivia about, if you watch the Masters this year, it was a huge amount of rain. They had that big storm kind of came through, and they had a lot of rain. They have got these, I'm going to call them subsystems, mm-hmm. underneath their golf greens, which literally it's like a shop vac. It just kind of vacuums all the water that it doesn't. There's no standing water. It all drains off. It is absolutely, totally high tech, and it's fascinating.
That is really neat.
It really is.
And it is beautiful every time you watch it.
I've
seen the Masters on TV, and the grass is perfect. Paul with Blue Sky Landscaping wanted to tell you good morning.
Hey,
so
Paul,
good morning
how
to
are
us.
You, buddy?
We had another friend text in. I'm hoping to do one more weed spray treatment, so should I wait to fertilize after, and how long?
Yeah, what I would do is if you're going to spray for weeds, it's also a pretty good time for that. As a matter of fact, before the show is over, I've got just a couple, four or five hints on how to handle all of that, how to handle the weed killing. But if you're going to put out your post-emergence weed killer, now, I think it's a little late for pre-emergence. Pre-emergence, Tammy, is when you spray a spray on the yard or put out a granular that is going to inhibit weeds from growing. It's going to keep, it's called a pre-emergence because it's before the weeds emerge. Post-emergence means that weed is looking at you. It's sitting right there. It's a broadleaf weed, dollar weed, Florida pusley, Virginia buttonweed, things like that. And if you want to do that, you could do that right now. I don't think it really makes much difference which you do first, the post-emergence weed killer or your fertilization. You can wait on the fertilizer till really almost into May 1st, if you will. But you could do it the spraying now because our temperatures are good. What you've got to worry about on your weed-killing spray is high temperatures. You get into the 80s, mid to high 80s, you've kind of got to back off a little bit. But temperatures right now are very good. So I think if it were me, and you really do have a weed problem, I would consider the post-emergence weed killer first.
Okay.
And then I would come back with the fertilizer, let's say a couple weeks later, because here's the deal. If you put out your post-emergence weed killer, say you spray it,
mm-hmm.
you do not want to water it because then it won't do what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to sit on that weed and take effect. So don't water it. Put out the fertilizer, like we
right.
just said, you need to water it.
Absolutely.
So in any event, that's just a little bit of a weed killer. And one other thing, I know we're probably going to take a break here, Tammy, but I want to say one word about Paul and some of the work he's doing around town.
Absolutely.
I'm familiar with a job that he just finished, and I want to brag about it a little
good.
Bit.
Good. Yes. Paul is awesome. He always is texting in. And
Oh, yeah. He's good.
It's amazing.
They do good work.
Right.
No doubt about it.
Thank you so much, Paul, for that. You're listening to News Radio 92.3. I am Tammy Martin with the Pensacola Expert Panel. We have Mr. Mike Wiggins here with us with the Garden Line. If you'd like to join the conversation, it's 437-1620. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Pensacola Expert Panel here on News Radio 92.3. It's good to have you listening this morning. We have Mr. Mike Wiggins with us this morning. We're so happy to have him. He's got so much, 40 years of landscaping experience. So if you want to join in the conversation, you have a question for him, don't hesitate, 437-1620. We had Casey would like to know, Mr. Wiggins, I have oak leaf hydrangeas that haven't bloomed in the past 2 years since I moved into the house. Do I need to fertilize them this year?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you could do that right now if you wanted to. And I'll tell you right now, you can a good azalea and camellia fertilizer, and generally you can buy that off the shelf and for that particular mm-hmm. purpose, would be a great fertilizer to use for those oak leaf hydrangeas. They are so gorgeous. Of course, I wouldn't do any pruning on them at all right now.
Okay.
None at all. And just fertilize them, keep them watered, and they're almost automatic. I really think they're going to bloom for you.
And hydrangeas are beautiful.
Oh, they are. They are pretty.
They are so pretty. My mom had them at her house.
The ones, white ones, they kind of, and they grow great in kind of a semi-shady mm-hmm. situation. But hydrangeas have gotten more and more and more popular every year. So many people use them in flower arrangements. And
oh, yeah,
a lot
that's
of your
true.
Florists
yeah.
have those. But I have one. I have it in a container. And last year, it did great.
Oh, yeah?
Really good. You just got to watch your pruning. You don't want to prune it way back right now. That would be the wrong thing to do. You do that in the fall.
Okay.
Exactly.
Awesome. And Henry said, guessing Master spends a bit more on their grass than most homeowners can spend.
Let me tell you what,
that's a
great comment, because I kind of wondered myself when I was talking to some friends about the perennial ryegrass. You know, if you're going to put ryegrass in your yard in Pensacola, you're probably going to buy one 50-pound bag, and that's going to be fine. But can you imagine how much perennial ryegrass that they use at Augusta? For 18 holes, all the fairways,
right.
all the pedestrian areas, if you will. It's mind-boggling how much ryegrass they use and how much money it
right.
takes to
I
do that.
I couldn't imagine.
Oh, I can't imagine either. I'm gonna ask somebody. I've got some friends that go every year. Maybe they know somebody that could give us that information. But it'd be fun to know.
Did you see that tree fall over?
That's excellent.
See, I don't even watch.
You did watch it. You did watch it.
I just saw.
You were joking with me. You did watch it. You watched every minute of the match.
I did. I watched every minute of it. I know who won.
Every second of it. Yeah, they had three pine trees just fall over. It didn't hit
Why?
Anybody, and it was right near where the pedestrians were.
Yes, I was like, whoa! I don't know how someone didn't get hurt.
Exactly, and so. You can see the huge root system on there. I don't know why, and I heard on one report that even the arborists didn't really know why they fell. Yeah. I wonder if pine trees can get pine tree borers.
Mm-hmm.
For example, when we get a hurricane and the pine trees are just whipping around, mm-hmm. that'll traumatize them, and they'll get borers, which these little beetles, if you will, that get into the tree, and once they kill that tree, they'll move to another one. Mm-hmm. I wonder if maybe they were having some insect problems in those particular
yeah.
trees. That's just a pure guess on my part. If any of our listeners know the answer to that as to why those trees fell, I'd love to know. But
yeah.
that's my best guess, because it's unusual for a large pine tree
just randomly to
keel over.
Over in the middle of the Masters.
Sometimes you get a lot of rain, you know, and the roots. You know,
that's what I was thinking.
But that could have had something to do with it. But I think the trees fell. Before
so it was more than one tree.
Three of them.
Three.
Yeah, exactly.
Huh.
That was wild. So we don't know. We may have to get the groundskeeper for Augusta on the phone.
Let's do that. That real quick?
Yeah, let me dial him up.
We want to know why.
Tell us why and tell us now.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Willie said, over the past few weeks, my centipede has patches of yellow appearing. How does it get back green?
Okay, that's a great question. If you fertilize centipede a little early, and if, especially if you use weed and feed fertilizer really early on centipede, you'll get these splotches of what I call canary yellow, kind of legal pad yellow, if you will. And that's it's going to be okay. A couple of things you can do. One is just let it go, keep it watered and all of that, and it'll probably green up as the season goes on. But if you really want to get it, solve the problem, a little iron is good.
Okay.
There's a product called Ironite, which is really good to use that will help green it back up. I don't think this is permanent. I think it's probably because maybe we use the fertilizer too early. But I think Ironite will work. Quite frankly, there's some great products on the market in a liquid form. It's called liquid iron.
Okay.
And that works well, too. But that's a very, very common problem. And I think you're going to be okay.
And it can be fixed. So that's great. That's awesome.
I think
awesome.
You can fix it that way. Absolutely.
If you want to join in the conversation, it's 437-1620. And if y'all know the answer to why the trees fell over at the Masters, please let us know. Call in.
Yes, we need to know that.
Your best guess. You don't win anything. We just want to know.
Exactly. Nobody will call.
Round of applause.
Now that we're not giving away
Round
anything.
Of applause. That's exactly. All you get. We are going to take a quick break here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We will be back in just a few short minutes. If you want to call in or text, 437-1620. Welcome back on this beautiful Tuesday morning. I'm here with Mr. Mike Wiggins on the Garden Line. We've had some awesome questions for you this morning.
They've been great questions.
They've been great.
Very good questions.
And Henry said the trees fell due to gravity.
Henry, I wish we were giving away a prize because you would
win.
He would win. Very good. Gravity. That's it.
I love it.
Make a note of that.
We're going to write that down and send it over to them so they know why their trees fell.
Send it over to the groundskeeper over at Augusta.
Yeah, yes.
Tell him that's what happened. What we need to do, I know we're going to have to take another break in a minute, is over the years, right after the Masters, we always kind of talk about the names of the golf holes. Well, don't want to repeat myself, so we won't go through all of them, but there are a couple that I think are very interesting that you need to know. At the Masters Golf Tournament, if you don't watch it, every hole there is named after a plant or a tree.
Yeah. That's really cool.
And it's fun to see which ones do well in Pensacola. I'm going to skip around because this is one that's fun. Azalea. That's hole number 13, which for all you golfers out there know they changed that hole this year. They made it longer. But hole number 13 is called Azalea.
Nice.
And it's obvious the reason. You look out on television and it's just a sea of beautiful azalea blooms. And really the ones I almost identified most of them. You had Formosa and George Tabor and Pride of Mobile, those basic, what we call indica azaleas, which are the larger growing azaleas. However, Tammy, over the weekend, I have talked to a friend of mine who went for the practice round on Tuesday.
Okay.
And he said the azaleas just weren't up to par this year.
It's because you didn't take care of them, Mr. Wiggins.
That could be it. That's probably not true. I think maybe the 19 degrees we had here, which probably was 10 degrees in Augusta.
I bet they would hire you. I think you should go out there.
Maybe a little second job might be good.
Might be fun. We never know.
Look into that. I doubt it.
We have more to unpack this morning on Pep Talk. Stay tuned for a Fox News update, followed by a local news update on our newsroom at News Radio 92.3.
Stay just a little bit longer. We want to play just a little bit longer.
Well, Tammy, I got to tell you, thanks for playing that song. We have a listener who just lives for that song. Now, that was by Jackson Browne.
Yes.
The one by Maurice Williams and the Zodiacs we really couldn't find because it's so old. So we apologize for that. But I do have a listener who'll be very happy that we played that song.
Awesome.
Or he'll be mad because we didn't play his favorite version of it. Oh. We'll see. We'll have to see. But thank you for doing that.
We do our best here.
We do our best. Do everything we can do.
We have Emily on the line from Pensacola. Miss Emily, do you have a question for Mr. Wiggins?
Yes, I have a shade tree question. You know, summer's up. We have a couple of vehicles in our driveway that just take a beating from the heat. And I was thinking we could plant a couple of trees nearby. But I don't know what to get that would grow fast or maybe be able to be purchased large.
That's a good question. If you're, well, you're really just basically looking for a fast-growing shade tree. One of my favorites, of course, is red maple. That's a great tree. And you can buy them relatively large. You could probably buy one at a local garden center, probably 6, 7, 8 feet tall. You probably could order one even bigger than that. Another good shade tree, it's good. It's not my favorite, I'll tell you right now, is a sycamore, simply because it has those huge leaves. But it grows very, very fast and would give you good shade. Now, keep in mind, they're both deciduous trees. They lose their leaves in the wintertime, but that's not a factor, of course, for you trying to hold down the heat. One last tree I like is a river birch. A river birch is a little more, delicate, I should say, than a red maple or a sycamore. And it has a beautiful red, peely bark. Most people plant river birch in a multi-trunk configuration. In other words, you buy it, and it's got three trunks to it, and it's got, you know, the canopy above. So those three are very fast-growing, probably the fastest-growing shade trees we have in Pensacola, and I think they would serve your purpose.
That is a great answer. That's exactly what I was looking for.
Well,
thank
I appreciate
you so
it.
Much.
Thanks, Emily, for calling in.
Emily, thank you very much.
And we have a few friends that text us over here. Let's see. Wade, I have a large dead brown spots in my centipede lawn. Any recommendations?
Well, it depends. It depends. I have found, and maybe more in St. Augustine than centipede, but it could be the same, that if you had a problem last year, like the brown patch fungus, if you will, that had the brown spots, the kind of the burnt brown spots, that was a problem last year, and you probably was so late in the season, nothing you could do about it. Well, the grass went dormant, it was all brown, and now that it's coming back, a lot of those fungus spots are not coming back, or they're coming back very, very slowly. I would do this. One, I would fertilize them. I'd fertilize that centipede right now with that 16-4-H, 16-0-8, about a 16 to 20% nitrogen. Water it in good. Do not, whatever you do, don't scalp that centipede. I like to mow it at least 3 inches. And, of course, keep it watered if it doesn't rain. And wait it out a little bit and see if by chance all those cultural things you're doing might help bring it back. If it doesn't come back, then obviously you're probably going to have to resod in those areas, which means you're going to have to just dig out the bed and kind of jigsaw puzzle back in some new centipede sod and go from there. That's radical surgery. It's a lot of work, but it may be your only solution. However, I would give it some chance. I'm going to tell you right now, my St. Augustine has some of that problem, and I did fertilize it right before we had the rain, and I hope it's going to come back. I think it will, slowly, and you may still have a little discoloration, but over the summer, you should get your growth should get going. So that's what I would do first, and then say by midsummer, if it just looks just the same, maybe time to resod.
Perfect. And I want to remind our listeners that this podcast will be up on News Radio 92.3. If you missed it, if you missed the answer to your question, make sure you head over there. I'll get it up usually around after the show, around 11. Make sure you go over to 92.3 and you'll be able to get that answer again, because I know some of the stuff is a little more detailed. All right. We had another friend text in. Do knockout roses bloom all year?
For the most part, yes. Not all year. They're not going to really bloom in the wintertime. They're going to go dormant. But my knockout roses are absolutely gorgeous right now. They may go through a little bit of a lull, but during the summer, yes, they're going to bloom. It's a great, great rose to plant. I think most of our listeners know we've talked about roses, your traditional roses, your tea roses, your grandifloras, your floribundas, which are beautiful roses, but are much, much more high maintenance than your knockout roses. If you're looking for a rose that doesn't take quite the attention as traditional roses do, plant it, because they are absolutely gorgeous. They love full sun. They like to water. They like to be fertilized every 30 days. Every 30 days. They have very heavy feeders, but, boy, they can be satisfying. My red ones right now are just all over the place. Very
pretty. They're beautiful.
Oh, they are beautiful.
Do you have a big garden at your house?
Well, I don't. I don't have enough room for a big garden, but I do like to plant various. I like to plant a lot of things in containers, especially tropicals, the hibiscus, mandevillas, crotons, that type of thing. I like to do that. I do have some beds in the backyard, which are full sun, where I have my knockout roses and some of the other things. I really like the sun, but I don't have the room that I kind of wish I had. However, I don't have much to mow, so that's
there
good.
You go.
That's good.
Paul with Blue Landscaping. Drift Rose is a cousin to the knockout. In my opinion, they are superior, and Peach Drift is my fave.
Let me tell you right now, he's right on target. Roses are will do the same thing as the knockout roses, but maybe even a little bit better. They are kind of cut out of the same cloth, if you will, and it's a good rose. Look at Drift Roses is what they're called. It's a good one. Good suggestion, Paul.
And where is a good place in Pensacola to shop for? Where do you some suggestions of finding?
Well, I like
flowers.
You know,
roses,
I just
anywhere
considering my history in business, I like to shop local.
Yes, absolutely.
I really do. I think Pensacola Seed and Garden is really good out on Mobile Highway.
Okay.
Werner Turf, on Creighton Road.
Okay.
They do a great job. Kind of shop around. I found when I was trying to buy my tropicals, I had to kind of go two or three places to find it. The Farmer's Market, Bailey's Farmer's Market, has got some really, really nice tropicals and plants and citrus and that type of thing. And house plants, too. They've got some beautiful stuff.
Love going to Bailey's. That's one of my favorite places to go.
There's no doubt about it. They've got some very, very nice stuff. So we can shop local
and
find what we want. We really can.
Definitely.
No doubt.
Yeah, there's plenty of places in Pensacola to find exactly what you're needing.
Absolutely.
And we're here to help you. So if you have any questions, maybe there's a certain type of plant you're looking for, maybe we know the answer for you.
Help you find it.
So,
no doubt about it.
We are going to take a quick. Welcome back to the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm your host, Tammy Martin. I'm here with Mike with the Garden Line. Thank you so much.
Let me guess. Mamma Mia, right?
Yeah, I think it is on Mamma Mia.
That ABBA?
Yeah, it's ABBA.
There you go. There you go. Good music.
Look at there.
There we go. We're on the same page.
We can have a quiz. I can start playing music, and that'll just be our morning. That'll be fun. Who is it?
Name
What's
that
the name?
Tune.
Name the
band. Name that tune. We can do that.
Hey, our listeners might like it, actually.
I don't know. Absolutely. I bet they know the answers to it. Let's do this, just real quick. Let's go back to the Masters for a minute.
Okay.
We're going to talk about some plants that relate to us here in Pensacola. Go back to the azaleas, where my friend who went on Tuesday for the practice round said the azaleas can't warm up to par. But there is an urban legend, Tammy, at Augusta, that to have those beautiful azaleas that they would bring in, if the azaleas weren't blooming at the right time or blooming too early, they would bring in ice and pour ice around the azaleas to kind of hold back the blooms. Well, I didn't believe that.
Okay.
So I did a little research, and that is totally an urban legend.
Really?
Totally false.
False.
They didn't do it, but the azaleas are absolutely gorgeous there. Let's see another fun one. Oh, here's one, and you have to kind of go negative on this one. Hole number two is called pink dogwood.
Okay.
Now, here in Pensacola, we, of course, are used to all the white dogwoods, who went through a stage years and years ago where they did horribly. They had a disease. You couldn't even buy good ones. But they've rebounded, and they look really good. But we don't grow pink ones. There is one variety. It's called Welch's Junior Mist. It has kind of a reddish burgundy, let's call it pinkish bloom. But that's the only one. I don't even know if you can find it anymore. But the white dogwoods are really, really pretty, especially now. I think that they've overcome some of their problems.
Right.
And probably more people are planting them. A lot of people just quit planting them because you couldn't get them. Matter of fact, a lot of those trees are grown up in Tennessee, and there was a quarantine on dogwoods coming in into Florida. So I don't know. Okay, how about hole number 17? Yeah. Nandina.
Uh-huh.
Nandina, also called, beautiful name, Heavenly Bamboo.
Who comes up with these awesome names?
I don't know who names
can
these
can we find
things.
That job?
We could do that. But Nandina is a great plant, kind of got reddish burgundy foliage on it. You can buy dwarf Nandinas. You can buy the regular tall-growing Nandinas, and it's a great plant for Pensacola, especially if you're looking for something to give you some color contrast.
Right.
So Nandina, it's a good plant.
Nandinas.
Heavenly Bamboo.
Awesome. We have Diane on the line. Good morning, Diane. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning.
In. Morning, Diane.
Good morning. Good morning. I was hearing you talk about feeding knockout roses once a month. I'm wondering what you recommend to do that with, or if there is an all-purpose one-kind-fits-all species, if you could just throw them out once a month for different things like hydrangeas or whatever.
Yeah, I don't think all plants need it once a month. I think that, to me,
okay. It's
just the roses really do. They're such heavy feeders
that
they need it. And you can use, I think, any blooming plant fertilizer you can find. Now, you can go to your garden centers and find rose fertilizer just for that purpose, which is a good idea. But I think, like hydrangeas, I think every 60 days or so, a little fertilization is good for them. I do. But I think for every 30 days, I don't think you do need to do it that often. And I would use rose fertilizer, or, you know, once again, a little azalea camellia fertilizer would really be good for it. They've got good formulas. They have, they're slow released. They have iron in them. And so those would be good ones to use. Are your knockouts blooming as good as mine?
They are. They're beautiful right
they're
now.
Gorgeous. You have the red ones?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes, I do.
You know, one of the richest guys in America has got to be that guy. I think he's up in Wisconsin. That developed the knockout rose. You know, most roses are grafted onto a different rootstock.
Mm-hmm.
Knockouts are not. They're on their own roots. And my goodness, this guy developed those knockout roses. You know, he's living down in the Bahamas somewhere. Probably where you can't grow roses.
Probably where you can't grow roses. Thank you so much, Diane, for calling
Diane,
in this
thank
morning.
You very much. We appreciate it.
One of our friends texted in and asked, can I grow a second dogwood from my 40-year-old tree? Can I grow a second dogwood from my 40-year-old tree?
I assume he's talking about rooting some of that.
I'm thinking
from
so.
From the 40-year-old tree. I guess that's the question. I would say absolutely not. That's not going to work.
Okay.
If you want a new dogwood, they're very, very slow growers. And they, I don't think you could do it. You could probably maybe be able to do it that way, but I wouldn't try it. I think it's not going to be very practical. I would go buy me one, mm-hmm. and in a minimum of a 3-gallon container. You know, get one at least, let's say 4 feet tall, 3 to 4 feet tall, and go that way. I don't think I would try rooting from a 40-year-old tree.
Okay. And another friend texts in, I have about 3 acres of open yard. What is a good, inexpensive grass seed I can throw down? It's mostly weeds now, and I'm not looking for a perfect yard.
Well, you know, that's a great question, because seeding in Pensacola sometimes can be very difficult. A lot of people seed with centipede grass. And if she's not looking for the perfect yard, it's not a bad choice. Centipede seed is an unusual seed. It's probably over $30 a pound. And you would say, I'm not going to spend that much money. But the thing about centipede seed is it goes so far. That may go as far as 2,000, even 3,000 square feet. So centipede seed is good. The thing about it is such a small, tiny, tiny little seed that a lot of people will mix it with pure builder sand to give it some bulk, mm-hmm. and then put it in a hand seeder. But the secret to centipede seed germinating and coming up is preparation. You get out there in that yard, and you have to rake it really, really good. I would prefer you to till it up and rake it, but I don't think they're going to do that. But rake it really good. Try to break that top level of soil and then rake it in one direction, and then get that centipede seed mixed with the sand and sow it, and then rake it at right angles to the way you raked it before.
Okay.
It doesn't necessarily have to be buried. It just has to be next to moist soil. And then water, 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 water. And it'll come up. If you're looking to save a little money and you don't mind putting in bahia grass, mm-hmm. that'll work also. I had a neighbor do that. I wasn't totally pleased with the results, but bahia grass will come up quickly. It grows almost overnight. Do not plant Pensacola bahia. Plant Argentine bahia. Pensacola bahia is the one we all us Pensacola natives know. It's on the right-of-ways of interstates that sends up the long seed pod. Don't do that.
Okay.
Argentine will do it, but not quite as bad. So if you're going to do bahia, do it that. And on bahia and centipede, okay, you're going to laugh at this. This is probably silly, but I've used this analogy before. People will say, when should I sow centipede grass or bahia grass? When you're comfortable going to the beach and jumping in the water and it's comfortable, mm-hmm. that's the time of year to sow centipede grass. Point is, don't do it when it's cool and the ground is cool. Give it time to warm up. End of May, middle of May would probably be okay.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break here on the Pensacola Expert Panel, and we'll wrap things up with Mike here on the Garden Line. Thanks so much for joining us. Welcome back. We are here with Mike with the Garden Line. We've had some amazing people text in and call in today.
Some great questions.
Thank you so much.
Well, and I think we only have about 30 seconds. How about a quick lightning round?
Okay.
Ultrafine oil, good time of year to do it. Think about that on your ornamental plants. We'll talk about more about that next week. We talked earlier, let's fertilize in April. Let's go ahead and do it. If you're going to put lime down on your St. Augustine, be sure to separate by 2 weeks, putting lime down on your St. Augustine from your fertilizer. They kind of tie each other up. And look for the martins. Look for the martins, which are the greatest mosquito catchers ever, the little purple birds. Keep in mind, I got a martin house for Christmas 2 years ago.
I'm writing this down.
I have not seen one martin yet. So maybe next week.
Maybe.
We don't have time today. But next week, somebody can tell me their hints, because I can't get the martins to come. But it's time for them to come. We'll be on the lookout for them. And thanks for listening. Absolutely. Tammy, it's great being with
you. Thank you.
It really is.
It was a pleasure.
We're going to have some fun doing it.
We have more to unpack here on Pep Talk. Stay tuned for a Fox News update, followed by a local news update in our newsroom by News Radio 92.3.